Glad to see you out tonight again to study another portion of God's will. Been waiting all day for this sermon, haven't you?
That's right.
For those who weren't here, I preached the wrong sermon this morning. But this is the Sunday morning sermon this morning. So, one of the things you notice, first of all, is that earlier this month, you'd see a lot of pictures like this, maybe. And these men, although they are different races, maybe dressed in different ways, we see these men had something in common that formed a relationship that was very, very dear to them. And that was, of course, they landed in Normandy on D-Day. There's others as well that have things in common. Maybe like these ladies here. They're all cancer survivors. When you get to Acts, the 6th chapter, though, I thought maybe Phil, when he was making his comments in Bible class this morning, I thought he was going to preach my sermon this morning. But in Acts chapter 6 and verses 8 and 9, it says, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. And there arose from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, those from Cilicia and Asia disputing with Stephen. So they were the synagogue of the freedmen. Phil made the point this morning about being free in Christ. When we look at the synagogue, though, we see the synagogue is a congregation or an assembly. It later just changed to be just a building, but in the original, it was a synagogue or a congregation or assembly of Jews that met for the purpose of worship or the performance of religious rites. Well, again, just like the D-Day men or the cancer survivor women, what drew these people together? Well, they had been freed from slavery, talks about here in Acts 6, chapter verses 8 and 9. We ask the question, what is a church? Not so much a definition here, but a description. And a description that I found is, the Church of Christ is a congregation or an assembly of Christians met for the purpose of worship or the performance of religious rites. The question is, though, what do they all have in common? Well, we see that every true church that practices what the Lord tells us to do is free in Christ. Every true church is a church of freed men and women. We understand as well that we're slaves. We are slaves, we are bond servants of Christ, he talks about. But at the same time we are slaves of Christ, we see that we are free. We are free in Christ as well. All those who are free in Christ have a new relationship, new responsibilities, and can expect a great reward. So these are the three topics tonight, and we'll go through these, and it won't be long tonight. All who have been made free in Christ are in a new relationship. We see that they are members of His body in Ephesians, and in chapter 1 and in verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 3. It says in Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. That's how we're going to receive. That's how we are going to receive these blessings. These blessings are in Christ. And also, there is a relationship with one another. Different passages talk about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul spends an enormous amount of time talking about this. But in another passage, in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, it says, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, through many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And then again, what we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We also see in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 19, now therefore, you are fellow citizens with the saints. I know that a lot of the fellows in here have been in the military before. And one of the things that I think they enjoyed the most in the military when they were overseas was to get together with other citizens of this country. I know different preachers have talked about Thanksgiving, how lonely Thanksgiving would be sometimes. But you get together with other citizens of this country that maybe were over in Scotland or England or in Russia or different places. You get together on that holiday or some of the other holidays, and you just draw closer together because you are fellow citizens. You're fellow citizens of the same country, and you're fellow citizens. Here he says, fellow citizens with the saints. There's something that we have in common. And are members of the household of God. We're part of a family. And it gets to the point to where that family many times becomes closer than your physical family. It might be that you have brothers and sisters, and you experience a life with them, maybe to 18 or 22 years old or whatever you are when you leave home. But then maybe you've been part of a spiritual family for 40 or 50 years. And you see those same people every week, and you grow to depend upon those same people every week. And it happens. Many times you become closer to the people in the Lord than you do to your own brothers and sisters by blood. He says in Matthew chapter 23 and in verse 8, he says, You are all brethren. All who have been made free in Christ have new responsibilities. And new responsibilities are going to create new problems, because that just occurs many times when you take on various responsibilities. You're just going to take on various new problems, whether it's having children, whether it's getting a job in a certain area. There's just new problems many times that you engage yourself with. One of the first times a question was asked in the Bible, he says, am I my brother's keeper? Paul answers this in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken with any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The problems that occur, it might be spiritual problems that occur. We have people right now that are not maybe living as they should, not attending as they should. For the next couple of weeks while I'm technically on vacation, that's what I'm going to be doing, is trying to go to them, because the next 2 weeks I'm just going to have more time. And Lynn, she's off right now too, so we'll have more time to go and to try to contact these people, because of the fact there are problems that are unique to members of the Lord's church. And from time to time, there are going to be spiritual problems that occur. Other problems that occur, it might be physical problems, might be social problems, might be financial problems. The true meaning of fellowship, I found this. It says two people under the same load. Two people under the same load. That tells me there is involvement. And there has to be involvement with one another. In fact, the experience we value most will determine the degree of our involvement or our fellowship. To give you an example, especially men who were in World War I or II or Korea, maybe even Vietnam, have been a big part of the VFW for many, many years, because they feel that need, they feel that compunction. At the same time, there are those that are involved in sports. Jeff and Cindy sent me a picture of themselves at Fenway Park, I guess, yesterday. They had gone to see a Red Sox game. And I take it probably in every state there's probably some fan club for the Boston Red Sox. Maybe not because of the players now, maybe because of the splendid splinter, Ted Williams, or Carl Yastrzemski, or someone like that. Because they feel a closeness to. Well, is that the way that we feel about the body of Christ? This isn't a VFW post. This isn't a fan club. But I believe we're doing something very, very important here as we serve the Lord together. He says the church in Jerusalem continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of prayer and breaking of bread and in prayers. Just to give you an example of the new responsibilities, the beginning of the church brought about new problems. Acts chapter 2, there were strangers. Acts chapter 4, there was persecution. Widows in need, Acts chapter 6. Death occurred in chapter 7. Suspicious converts started to pop up in chapter 9. Foreigners in Acts chapter 10. The needy, who were not in their back door, but from a distance. What were they going to do? An evangelist. Well, let's go back for a minute and just look at these and see new responsibilities that they had. In Acts chapter 2, and in verse 44 through 46, Acts 2, and in verse 44 through 46, they had a whale of a problem. It didn't seem like a problem here. In verse 44, it says, and those believed had were together, and they had all things in common. They began selling their property, their possessions, and sharing them with them all as anyone had need, day by day, continuing with one mind. In the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. A lot of these people had come in for the Pentecost. But as they came in for the Pentecost, they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, many of those accepted that gospel and were baptized into Christ. But I suppose when they got back home that night, wherever they were staying, if those people weren't too hep on the gospel of Christ, if those people who they were staying with were standing against the Lord, standing against the apostles, maybe they had been crying out some days before, crucify him, crucify him. And now these people come back home and they said, we're now Christians. We have been baptized today. And they say, get out. Get out. We don't want you here. What were they to do? It was a challenging period of time. And it seems like the apostles and the disciples at that time, they banded together. And they figured out what to do about that problem. 1 Peter chapter 4 talks about showing hospitality. Showing hospitality to these people. They didn't have anywhere to go. Maybe it's going to be our time one day. I know where Taylor and Evan live. They had big hurricanes to go through there. And a lot of people were sent out of their homes from some of the other churches closer to the coast when they lived in North Carolina. And there were many members of the church that opened their homes to people. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to open your home to somebody that needed some help? Well, there was persecution. They got in trouble helping a man, healing him. The gate called Beautiful. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee in the name of Jesus. Arise and walk. In chapter 4 and in verse 23 and 24, chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, it says, and when they had released, they went to their own companions and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted up their voices with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who has made the heaven and the earth and all the sea and all that is in them. They glorified God. They were being persecuted. In chapter 6, there were widows. A unique problem. There were Hebrew widows. And there was Hellenistic widows, Grecian widows. The Hellenistic widows, they would dress different. They would maybe talk different than the Hebrew widows. And in doing so, evidently a lot of those widows weren't being fed. Might just let them starve to death. But they had to do something about that. In James chapter 1, to visit the fatherless and the widows. In Acts chapter 8, we see Stephen die. In Romans chapter 12, and in verse 15, it says, chapter 12, verse 15, rejoice with those that rejoice, and weep with those who weep. We've done that many times here. Different people that have lost loved ones. We felt that pain as well. You feel the pain of what Danny's going through right now. The prayers offered up to him and others as well. Suspicious converts. This fellow Saul of Tarsus. What are we going to do about him? Well, in Acts chapter 9, we see concerning him and Barnabas, in Acts chapter 9 and in verse 27. It says in verse 27, Barnabas took hold of him, brought him to the apostles, described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and how he had talked to him, and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, chapter 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, as he personifies love, or personifies love, he says in verse 5, love does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, does not take into account a wrong suffered. And then down to verse 7 it says, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. There's other problems, foreigners. Acts chapter 10, Cornelius. What are we going to do about that? James chapter 2 and in verse 1. James 2 and in verse 1. It says, my brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. Stink needy? They were having a famine. They needed help in Judea. They needed relief. 350 miles away, Antioch. What was Antioch going to do? not my problem. I don't live in Judea. You know, it's like Cincinnati or Atlanta or wherever, that maybe saints might need help, and you might say, well, I live in Louisville, Kentucky. It's not my problem. I don't have to deal with that. Well, here we have the example of that from 2,000 years ago. We're 350 miles away. They sent their support with Barnabas and Saul to help the needy. And then, of course, evangelists as well. The last thing I want you to see here tonight, and the lesson's yours. People are in a new relationship. They have new responsibilities. We've covered both of those tonight. And they're going to receive new rewards. It says, so he said to them, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God and shall not receive many times more in this present time. I I know years ago when a lot of us would go out and preach, maybe in our teenage years or early 20 years, and you might get, I don't know, maybe $10, $15 driving 300 miles for the day. Spend 12 hours down there with the people. But still you get so much from them. You get just tables full of food at every time you'd preach, and they'd take care of you. And if you felt bad, you'd have a mother there, grandmother there, that would help you out to get you through to the next service. And in the age to come, eternal life. He says here in Matthew chapter 25, this will be the end of it here. Matthew chapter 25, we'll go ahead and read this. Verse 34 beginning, it says, "And the king will say to those on the right hand, 'Come, you blessed are my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" Why? Maybe because you were the top servants of God. Maybe you were the wealthiest servants of God. Maybe it's the fact you were the most important servants of God in the community. No. Here's what he says. He says, "I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me." The righteous will say to him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, naked or clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these brethren, you did it to me." Then, he says, then he will say to those on the left hand, Oh boy, what did the left hand do? What did the left hand do to deserve this? Well, what did the left hand do? They did nothing. They did absolutely nothing. He says, "Depart from me, you accursed, to the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not take me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me." Then he will answer them and say, "Surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me." And these will go away into eternal punishment. These are some of the last words he said before he was crucified, except the words on the cross. The importance of just doing little things. Well, where will we spend in eternity? Well, that's going to depend on two things. It's going to depend on whether we are free in Christ. That's our decision to make. Whether we're free in Christ and whether we have continued in fellowship. Because that's what's going to bring the blessing. I'd encourage you, if you need to come right now, to come while together we stand and we sing.